The sorrowful troop had no sooner arrived at the castle than they were met by Hippolyta and Matilda, whom Isabella had sent one of the domestics before to advertise of their approach. The ladies, causing Frederick to be conveyed into the nearest chamber, retired, while the surgeons examined his wounds. Matilda blushed at seeing Theodore and Isabella together, but endeavored to conceal it by embracing the latter and condoling with her on her father's mischance. The surgeon soon came to acquaint Hippolyta that none of the Marquis's wounds were dangerous, and that he was desirous of seeing his daughter and the princesses. Theodore, under the pretense of expressing his joy at being freed from his apprehensions of the combat being fatal to Frederick, could not resist the impulse of following Matilda. Her eyes were so often cast down on meeting his, that Isabella, who regarded Theodore as attentively as he gazed on Matilda, soon divined who the object was that he had told her in the cave engaged his affections. While this mute scene passed, Hippolyta demanded of Frederick the cause of his having taken that mysterious course for reclaiming his daughter, and threw in various apologies to excuse her lord for the match contracted between their children. Frederick, however incensed against Manfred, was not insensible to the courtesy and benevolence of Hippolyta, but he was still more struck with the lovely form of Matilda. Wishing to detain them by his bedside, he informed Hippolyta of his story. He told her that, while prisoner to the infidels, he had dreamed that his daughter, of whom he had learned no news since his captivity, was detained in a castle, where she was in danger of the most dreadful misfortunes, and that if he obtained his liberty and repaired to a wood near Joppa, he would learn more. Alarmed at this dream, and incapable of obeying the direction given by it, his chains became more grievous than ever. But while his thoughts were occupied on the means of obtaining his liberty, he received the agreeable news that the Confederate princes who were warring in Palestine had paid his ransom. He instantly set out for the wood that had been marked in his dream. For 3 days, he and his attendants had wandered in the forest without seeing a human form, but on the evening of the third, they came to a cell in which they found a venerable hermit in the agonies of death. Applying rich cordials, they brought the fainting man to his speech.
"My sons," said he, "I am bounden to your charity, but it is in vain. I am going to my eternal rest. Yet I die with the satisfaction of performing the will of heaven. When first I repaired to this solitude, after seeing my country become a prey to unbelievers, it is, alas, above 50 years since I was witness to that dreadful scene. Saint Nicholas appeared to me and revealed a secret, which he bade me never disclose to mortal man, but on my deathbed. This is that tremendous hour, and ye are no doubt the chosen warriors to whom I was ordered to reveal my trust. As soon as ye have done the last offices to this wretched corpse, dig under the 7th tree on the left hand of this poor cave, and your pains will, oh, good heaven, receive my soul."
With those words, the devout man breathed his last.
"By the break of day," continued Frederick, "when we had committed the holy relics to the earth, we dug according to direction, but what was our astonishment when about the depth of 6 feet we discovered an enormous saber, the very weapon yonder in the court. On the blade, which was then partly out of the scabbard, though since closed by our efforts in removing it, were written the following lines. No, excuse me, madam," adding the Marquis, turning to Hippolyta, "if I forbear to repeat them, I respect your sex and rank, and would not be guilty of offending your ear with sounds injurious to aught that is dear to you."
He paused. Hippolyta trembled. She did not doubt but Frederick was destined by heaven to accomplish the fate that seemed to threaten her house. Looking with anxious fondness at Matilda, a silent tear stole down her cheek. But recollecting herself, she said,
"Proceed, my lord. Heaven does nothing in vain.
mortals must receive its divine behests with lowliness and submission. It is our part to deprecate its wrath or bow to its decrees. Repeat the sentence, my lord. We listen resigned. Frederick was grieved that he had proceeded so far.